It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business calls library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
Everybody, Jeff Ponce, JJ Cooper here. Another of our Baseball America MLB prospect deep dives. Today, we're talking about the Houston Astros, a team that has been one of the most impressive at the big league level over the last decade. They are a team that you can say, you know, the Dodgers are a dynasty, but the Astros also are a dynasty. This is a team that has been part of the playoff picture now for basically for a decade, which is really hard to do. But as we talk about them today, we're also talking about a farm system that is not at the level of depth, that is not at the level of impact talent that it was for much of that run. But as we kind of jump into this, Jeff, great to talk to you as always. That kind of leads into, we had an offseason trade where the Astros traded Kyle Tucker and brought back in that deal Cam Smith, who immediately becomes the number one prospect in this organization. How important was it? Again, not for 2025 Astros, but for the 26 and beyond, to add a prospect of Smith's caliber.
Yeah, and I think it was adding a prospect of Smith's caliber, reinforcing some other areas that they, you know, potentially could use the depth, whether it be Wesneski as kind of an interesting piece that they might be able under their tutelage to make some tweaks and get the best out of him, whether that's as a reliever or potentially as a starter. He's done both roles at the major league level in his career. But also getting Isaac Paredes, which obviously slots in, it sounds like, based on the comments that we heard from Dana Brown the other day, that Alex Bregman will not be returning. That's still to be determined. But it
as seems- we record this, he has not signed anywhere. So let's just note that, because we put this out, you know, we have to edit it and all. So if you're hearing this and Bregman is playing somewhere, when we recorded this, Bregman had not signed.
He had not signed. But I think beyond that, they got a prospect in Cam Smith that I believe – really dating back to that summer of 2023 when he was with Hyannis in the Cape, working with Tino Martinez and the hitting coach there, and the massive strides he made throughout that summer, it followed through to his, you know, his second season, his final season at FSU, and then post-draft really hit, and it felt like not only did the amateur evaluations increase and improve on Smith over the course of that cycle, once he got into pro ball, pro scouts and upper level front office folks that we spoke with really spoke pretty highly of Cam Smith. And it felt like he was moving up in terms of how he was viewed, even in relation to the rest of that draft class, which as far as college hitters, maybe some other demographics, not as good, as far as college hitters, was pretty good, pretty talented across the board. I think when you look at Smith, it's, you know, now pretty good bat to ball skills. He's always had the approach. He's now marrying those plate skills, and I would say above average to maybe even plus long term. There's a ton of power on the profile naturally. He doesn't have to sell out for. There's questions about the defensive position, but he's the kind of guy who has enough athleticism and a big enough arm. And if you kind of look at the Astros right now, lack of depth in the outfield, there's opportunity there for some of these guys to break through as outfielders. He could turn into a pretty good corner outfielder, maybe even better than he is defensively at third base. That's not to say he's going to move off of it, but I think when you factor in all of those different elements with Smith, he's a really interesting prospect, and I would argue maybe the most high-end or certainly the most ascending prospect heading into a season that we've seen with the Astros in quite a long time.
Reading your report, it does feel like if I was going to peer into a crystal ball and say in 2028, Cam Smith is playing X position for the Astros, I just feel like it's more likely we're going to see him in the outfield than at third base. Like, I think that at some point, when you talk about, he's got the arm, but when you talk about that, looking at his defense and just looking at like maybe even being freed up a little bit by being a corner outfielder, and the job is just go out there and mash. Is it crazy to think that that could end up being kind of his path, is because his bat may be ready before his glove is?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a possibility. I think it's still a bat first prospect for sure. There's questions about the defense. I just know in terms of where he lays out against the class and globally as an athlete, that gives me a little bit more hope in terms of what he can turn into, you know, as a defender.
That was not a hard debate. Once he arrived, it was not something where you spent a lot of time going Jacob Melton or Cam Smith. It was Cam Smith is your slam dunk Astros number one, right?
Yeah, 100%. There wasn't even a question mark. As soon as he moved into the system, it was almost like, hey, I think I underranked him in the Cubs system because we weren't, you know, you start to get feedback for the top 10s in like September, October. And, you know, and then I think there's some internal evaluations that come to the surface, the process of course, sort of laying out prospects and trade targets for different teams. And Smith was certainly one that, you know, we continue to get better and better feedback throughout the process. But yeah, Jacob Melton, really good prospect, not in the same tier as Cam Smith, just in terms of what the ultimate upside could be.
This system without Cam Smith was our number 30 farm system. When we ranked the handbook, the Cam Smith trade, let's just be honest, tell you a little bit how the sausage is made. We have to have a transaction deadline. You has to be a point. You can't literally say, we're going to have every move reflected if it happens an hour before we send the book to press. So we sent the book to press after the Cam Smith trade had happened, but our transaction deadline was the end of the winter meetings. And so it meant that the Cam Smith was still a Cubs prospect in the handbook. At that time, we had the Astros as our number 30 farm system. After the trade, they moved up, but they're still a bottom tier farm system. But without Cam Smith, this farm system doesn't have a whole lot of guys who you project as big league regulars, does it?
No, I think it's really only a handful. You know, Cam Smith, of course. I think Melton is a big league regular. I think Bryce Matthews is a big league regular. DeZenzo, the jury's certainly out, I think could be a pretty interesting bat, but there's questions like defensively where he ends up. He's listed as a third baseman. I don't think he's going to play a lot of third base, probably more of a first baseman. We know that puts a little bit more pressure on. And then Walker Yannick, it's a matter of how far the bat comes along, because the defense is certainly good enough that he's a major leaguer. It's just a matter of, is he a rotation catcher or is he a guy that's going to see the bulk of the work behind the plate? So, you know, outside of that, I can't really point to many other players in this list and say, oh, that guy is a slam dunk everyday player. That guy's a slam dunk starter in the major leagues. The Astros have a track record of developing players and getting the most out of their prospects. So I think we do need to sort of consider that they've gotten a lot more big league regulars, a lot more 50s out of players that were 40s or 45s in other systems. But there's only so long that lasts. I don't know how long they can keep pulling the rabbit out of the hat in that regard.
That's kind of if you're enjoying this, go to baseballamerica.com. We have reports for now the top 40 prospects in the Astros system and all 30 organizations up at baseballamerica.com. For our subscribers, you have tools grades, you have BA grades, you have farm system rankings, which are available for free for everyone. You have top 25, you have draft reports, top 200 for the draft. If you want to know what the 2026 draft classes look like, we already have that up at baseballamerica.com. So much at baseballamerica.com. We promise you, if you enjoy this, you're going to enjoy that. But Jeff, as we look at this, as we look at the Astros right now, you said like they've had this long run of success. I would say I wrote some of those 30s too. I got to, you know, during this time of the kind of the rise of this. And the way I would say it is they hit on stars at the start, which is Jose Altuve, to their credit, star. And that was kind of a, wow, you got Jose Altuve, star, you know, that's impressive. Then they hit on it. Carlos Correa, star. Alex Bregman, star. Kyle Tucker, star. Jordan Alvarez traded for Josh Fields, star. Okay. So you've got this wonderful core of a lineup to drive you. And then the key part following that was on the pitching side, no one did a better job of developing what I would, free talent is a little bit strong, but low bonus, older international signees. No one did a better job than finding, you could go through the Christian Javiers and the Framber Valdezes, and we could just keep going. And I don't think, I mean, that is to talk about how crucial that was. By the way, also Franklin Perez, who got hurt and flamed out, but was the key player that got them back Justin Verlander in a trade as well. But to be able to do that, that is the difference to me between the Astros having a 5-year window and having a 10-year window, is as the lineup started to get more expensive, they were able to say, don't worry, we've got a rotation and to some extent a bullpen that is filled with lower cost guys that kind of made it all work. But when you said like it's hard, you know, like they got 45s to 50s, they got 50s to 55s, and they did a lot of that. But there's been a lot of turnover in this organization also. Like when you look at the state of this organization now, like we are now three different head, you know, front office heads in the last 5 years, right? Like the Lunau era is now well in the past. The James Click era, very successful one, was a blip. And now we're on to the Dana Brown era. But when you look at this system, when you look at the big league club, and this is no criticism, like at some point, unless you're the Dodgers, you know, the last call and closing time gets, you know, happens wherever you are. Does this, like, how much further of a window do you feel like this team has? Is it something where it's about, we're not far from the start of a rebuild, or is it a team that there's still enough here to say, like, looking at the West, like 25, 26, 27 are all realistic targets for this team?
Yeah, you know, I don't think the window is closing. I don't think that you can necessarily bank on them winning World Series, but they're still a playoff caliber team, and they still have some of these stars under contract for a while. You know, they still have, you know, multiple guys here in Alvarez, Yainer Diaz, Jeremy Pena that are all, you know, 27 years of age or younger. Altuve is almost an ageless wonder at this point. There's some money for them to spend. And then you look at the rotation, it's heavily homegrown. You know, Framber Valdez, you know, when he hits free agency, I think is in the next year or two, but 31 years old. So fine. But they've developed Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown has turned into a really good pitcher. Ronald Blanco might be one of their biggest coups from a player development standpoint. And they still have a ton of runway in terms of control on him. He was an older reliever, late developer. He had a phenomenal season as a starter last year and is clearly a mid-rotation guy. He was somebody that was added on off of the guidance of some contacts within the organization at the back end of the 30 heading into last year. And just to see how much, you know, he's grown. And I don't think it's one of these flash in the pan guys, but beyond that, Spencer Arrighetti had a really good year. JP France is still in this organization. Luis Garcia has had some trouble getting back on the mound. Christian Javier is expected back halfway through this season. There's still a lot of starting pitching depth within the organization. And I think, you know, rebuilding some of that depth is going to go a long way. But, you know, when you look at the players who are free agents in the next couple of years, it's actually Framber Valdez. As I mentioned, this is his last year. We'll see where that goes. The other guys are like Ben Gamel, Victor Caratini. They're not players that you're looking at and saying, oh, I have concerns as to where this is going to play out. They still have 3 years left on Jeremy Pena, including this year. They still have 3 years left on Isaac Paredes, including this year. You know, Arrighetti is under team control until 2029. Blanco is under team control until 2029. Hunter Brown is 2028. Yainer Diaz is 2028. Altuve is signed through 2029. You know, they added Christian Walker this year, one of the best home run hitters and kind of a late developer. I still, and potentially answered their question at first base for the first time in a couple of years. Yordan Alvarez is under contract until 2028. They have a closer in Josh Hader. You know, Christian Javier is under contract until 2027. And there's some money that
I mean, they do still have a number of guys here, but
yeah.
But then now I think the question becomes, okay, when you look at the lineup, besides Alvarez, like they really are going to need like a lot from Diaz, right? They're really going to need a guy like a Cam Smith to step up, because I would say that this lineup has been kind of a Bregman, Alvarez, Tucker, Altuve led lineup. And now we're down to, it's Altuve still there, but he's at the more at the tail end of his career than any of these other guys we're talking about. Alvarez, but they're going to need some other guys to step up, right? Walker obviously is a key part of that.
Yeah.
I would expect that signing will go way better than the Jose Abreu signing went for them. But they do need, they need a couple of these hitters, whether that's a Yiner, Diaz, or someone else, to really take a step up, I would say.
Yeah, and I think another step forward for Jeremy Peña, as young as he is, having a shortstop that's under control that can be productive. The big question for me is this outfield. And I think that's where Jacob Melton potentially fits in. As I mentioned, you know, there's a chance maybe Cam Smith moves to the outfield. Depending upon how they view Bryce Matthews, maybe they start to give him some run in the outfield. We had heard that maybe he could play some center field when he was drafted. He's only played, I think, second, third, and shortstop so far. But a toolsy player with the speed that he could maybe make that transition. The big question is the outfield. With Kyle Tucker leaving, I think that was a big departure. They did good to get some pieces back. Now it's a matter of, you're going to free up some money next year. You know, McCullers, $17, $18 million is off the books after next year. You know, you don't have that Tucker contract. They can go out into the open market or make some trades and sign somebody to an extension. It's just a matter of them getting creative. I think the big question is just that outfield, because the infield is still very solid, very talented. They have a good young catcher there that can hit. They have the pitching. We went over that. I still think it's enough to compete. If they want to be a World Series contender, they need to get another star to obviously supplement Yordan Alvarez, because, as you said, Altuve is getting older. Walker, big power bat, but certainly limited. He's a little bit older as well. So those are the question marks. They kind of need that other big star. They've let quite a few stars walk when you think about Bregman, Correa, and now Tucker. I think when we look at all those guys, Tucker was probably, in terms of what the runway was for him to continue being productive and being a star and being, you know, a major producer in that lineup, is a little bit longer. I can understand why you part ways with Correa. We've seen how injury prone he's been since he's gone to the Twins, though when he's on the field, he's always been a pretty good player. You know, Bregman, the dollars and cents just kind of don't make sense. We'll see if he ends up back here or where he ends up, as we talked about recording, but they have lost some star power, and they've lost some veteran leadership and some guys that, you know, have been through sort of the big battles and those long playoff runs. So there's a question here. I still think it's a playoff team. I still think it's a competitive team. I don't expect them to totally fall off the map and, you know, be a below 500 team anytime in the next 2 to 3 years. But they do need to supplement it if they want to keep that championship window open for a few more years.
So on the position player, this is an organization where our top five prospects are all position players. However, you just mentioned Bryce Matthews, it's going to be a tough profile to be a regular, right? Like it's going to be kind of a three true outcomes kind of profile where you're really kind of rely on that. You mentioned with Yannick, it's like he's going to be a big leaguer, but there is a question about whether the bat's going to be enough to be a regular. Zach DiCenzo has big power, but there's like these are hitters. Other than Cam Smith, I feel like that these are hitters at the top of this list with questions. You know, we should throw Melton in that as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, Melton, I'd maybe lean toward, like, I think that maybe he's a little bit underrated in some ways, because he's a good defender. He's a good base runner. He gets on base. He doesn't strike out a ton. It's an unusual swing. There is some power there. You know, I think, like, if he's a 50 or even could creep into the 55 range, I think that's possible. But when you're looking at a guy like DiCenzo, it's more of a 45 kind of prospect. I kind of think that, you know, when we look at Bryce Matthews, I think there is an above average regular upside, but the contact really needs to take a few steps forward. He get, as you mentioned, it's 3-2 outcome. He's speedy. he has some defensive ability and there's some excitement there. He's a twitchy, athletic, tooled up player. But the contact questions are legitimate, and it's a lot of swing and miss for a guy that you're going to put it out there every day and expect to compete for titles. That's the kind of player that I think there's some question marks on. And then you look at somebody like Yannick, as you said, really strong defender. There's major question marks around the bat as to whether, you know, he's going to be able to replicate what he did at a mid-major conference. And it's not, I mean, he was a good hitter with Sam Houston State. It's not like he set the world on fire. So that's also sort of a question mark as well, you know, for as good of a player as, you know, I think he is, as good of a defender as I think he is. We have a 60 on the field. We got a 70 on the arm. You watch him catch back there, you know, the catch and throw part of it, the blocking, all that's there, kind of handling the pitching staff. He does all that stuff really, really well. I don't know, you know, maybe he's enough defensively and that ends up moving, you know, Yonder Diaz into a more of a DH first base role, but they're kind of clogged up there too. So how this roster all fits together and really how they answer that outfield question, I think looms large.
So that's the hitters. But the other thing that is surprising here, this is an organization that's done, that we just laid out, a really good job developing pitchers. So we're going to look at where are the pitchers in the farm system right now after this quick break.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
So, Jeff, no pitcher in the top five here. A lot of pitchers after that in this top 30, in this top 40. But what is kind of the state of pitching for the Astros farm system right now?
Yeah, and this is always a tricky question to answer, I think, because we've seen so many guys that, you know, maybe didn't have a ton of pedigree and it took a while to kind of figure out, like, you know, Javier or Framber Valdez, some of those guys. But I don't know if they have that guy right now. I think certainly you can take a look at the development in 2024 for a pitcher like Miguel Uyola, who has an excellent fastball, one of the best fastballs, I think, throughout our handbook, throughout any of the top 30s. We put a 70 grade on it, you know, sits 93 to 95 with a ton of ride. You know, it's like 18 to 20 inches of induced vertical break with some cut. If we sort of look at fastball shapes that induce the most whiffs and swinging strikes at the major league level, it's fastballs that look like this. His big question mark has been the development of the secondaries. His slider took a big step forward this year. His strike throwing, which had been a major bugaboo for him, he was able to take a jump forward with that and throw more strikes to get to like a fringe average command level where maybe he can set up, you know, middle targets and just sort of let his stuff eat within the zone. He's kind of one of those guys, but there's some lingering relief risk with him as well. I think sort of the unknown one is Ryan Forcucci. You know, he had Tommy John surgery in June, probably expected to miss all, if not most, of 2025. So we may not even see him until next year. He was a guy that was really jumping up draft boards. And I've heard, even from outside the organization, some pretty good things about him. It's a bigger pitcher build at 6'3", 205. You know, it's another guy with some unique characteristics on the fastball. He got a 60 grade in that process. You know, he has two average to above average secondaries and sort of above average command. If I had to sort of point to one pitcher here who could be an X factor over the next couple of seasons in terms of their rankings, it's probably Forcucci, but he may not have that opportunity to prove himself and make that jump until a year from now. And that's, you know, that's sort of a question mark. So after that, I think we're just looking at a lot of relievers. we're looking at back end of the rotation, or even like number six starter rotation emergency depth guys like AJ Blewbaugh or Ethan Pecco or Orion Gusto. Some of these guys, Gusto is certainly a great development story. You can go and read about, you know, his journey into pro ball. And, you know, it was a guy that I think didn't even play. He was from your area of North Carolina.
Yeah, did not play high school baseball.
Did not play high school baseball and sort of just walked on at a tryout at a JC, followed this coach, really developed and put the work in, and, you know, and obviously found his way onto the 40-man roster. So, you know, he's a really interesting one to me. It's just a matter of like, where do all these different arms go? Colton Gordon, James Hicks, you know, Jose Fleury has some fans as well. There's a lot of pitchers in this organization that I think are at least like top 30 worthy, but it's more back end of the top 30. And a lot of these guys probably rank more like 21 to 30 in a lot of better orgs.
So the one thing we probably should mention also with that is that this is the team, because they've been contending, like Jake Bloss is not on this list. You know, he's graduated, but he's a guy who made it up very quickly for them, success story, and then turn around and is traded because, again, the Astros are a contender. Joey LoProfito also traded away. They have had also the challenge of they are a team that year after year has had a reason to make moves at the deadline to try to, you know, firm up the big league club because they've been in it every single year for the last decade.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's always something that we look at and say, well, at least they're here in the back end of the system rankings for a good reason. I think the Braves are obviously comparable. They've been even more aggressive in terms of making trades. But, you know, when you're supplementing the major league team and, you know, trying to keep that competitive window open, you're going to go out and you're going to trade the Ryan Clifford. You're going to trade the Drew Gilberts, who are guys that certainly would have fit, I think, into this top 10 and supplemented this system a little bit, maybe pushed them up a little bit. Not tremendous prospects, but pretty good ones. And so, like, once again, I think it's one of those times where at least it's happening for a good reason. And, you know, they haven't drafted at the top of the draft in a very long time. Like the Braves, they had some, penalties that were applied because of the cameras cheating, spying scandal, whatever you want to classify that as. And, you know, I think ultimately that's probably weighing a little bit heavy. They had a lot of years to catch up. You know, there were also some question marks about how the front office worked in terms of scouting on the amateur side. That area, I would argue, is probably maybe even better than it was 5 years ago during that 2020 draft, where there were some pretty questionable picks. And we all know the stories online.
I will say with that, like, I want to give them credit though. Also, like, okay, 2021, the Astros didn't pick till 87, right? The top end talent is kind of picked through before they ever got to turn in a card. And if you look at it, they got Chase McDermott at 132, who they traded, but is a very good prospect for the Orioles. And again, that's an excellent identification. Spencer Arrighetti, 178, again. That you already mentioned him. He's in the rotation. Joey LoProfito at 208, who was, again, traded, you know, but has already provided value for them. Like, to hit that out of a 21 draft where you didn't have any first or second round pick is impressive. The 2020 draft looks pretty bad, but you get to 21, Drew Gilbert, who was, again, traded because the Astros are kind of making moves. You mentioned Melton before, but like AJ Blewbaugh, you mentioned, yeah. Zach Sesenzo was a 12th round pick. They've done a good job of, with very limited draft resources, of not having wipeout drafts, which, again, the goal every year is not to have a wipeout draft, but it is something. Jake Bloss was the 99th pick in 2023, has already pitched in the big leagues. This is a team that's kind of had to, as you said, has had penalties, has had limitations, and still has managed to find some guys despite that, which is a credit to them in some ways. But at the same time, as you noted, they thankfully for them, they have some pitchers who they have some some pretty good runway on in the big leagues, because the other thing that does jump out here is there aren't as many of those international signings as they had, where they had a stretch there where it was like, wow, how did they hit on this guy after this guy after this guy after this guy? It doesn't feel like that right now in the system, does it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can point to a guy like Anderson Brito, who was a nice breakout for him there, but it hasn't been the sort of volume of players who over the course of a couple years really break out. But I also think that they had gone to such an extreme in terms of anti-scouting and not having the scouting departments that other teams had. And they kind of slowly crept throughout the Click era back toward more scouting. And then we know Dana Brown is very heavily scout centric. That's something, you know, they've become one of the more scout centric organizations and front offices in the game. So I think that's part of it too. I mean, you mentioned the 2021 draft. Yes, they hit after, you know, McDermott on quite a few players that are on the 40-man roster and some good depth players as well. Those first two picks in Tyler Whitaker and Alex Yola do not look good. You know, some of there, you know, and that's a lot of where their draft capital was spent that year. But I think since that year, the 2020 and 2021 draft, we've seen the drafts get a little bit better for the Astros. And, you know, I think if you're an Astros fan, you could probably take some solace in the fact that they are maybe going to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, and probably more successful when it comes to just turning over every stone and trusting their scouts and getting more out of the targets that they go after in, you know, the American, you know, draft. International, I think, is definitely a question. They have not had the hits internationally recently that they had 4 or 5 years ago. And that's a lot of what's supplementing this organization overall. Because I would imagine that some of the Yordan Alvarez stuff, there had to be some feedback coming from the national scouts.
No, 100%. There were two teams who were really in on Yordan Alvarez that year to sign him. It was the Dodgers and the Astros, right? Mm-hmm. So when they asked for Yordan Alvarez in the trade, he had not played a game for the Dodgers at that point. Exactly. But the Astros had already done their work. The Astros had wanted to sign him. The Dodgers signed him. Like, okay, you got him. Now can we get him back? Because he was really a guy we wanted. So that was, you could really count that as an international scouting success story for them, because it wasn't something where they found out about Yordan Alvarez after he signed with the Dodgers. They were the team other than the Dodgers who was most likely to sign Yordan Alvarez when he was, you know, coming, you know, looking to sign his first contract. Mm. But that kind of leads into, you know, we said this is not the best 11 through 30 that the Astros have had. They've had some really good ones over the years. But who is a player from the back of this system? You could, even if you want to now, we go to 40. I don't think you're going to do this, but if you want to go, oh, my number 38 prospect is one you really need to watch. Then I would say, well, why wouldn't he number 30? I'd probably say, but who's someone to keep an eye on if you're an Astros fan or just a prospect fan of this is a guy who has a chance to kind of pop?
I think if you've read any of my content over the last couple of weeks, you know what my answer is going to be here. And that's Joseph Sullivan. Was a seventh rounder this year out of South Alabama. There were some question marks among scouts and folks who had scouted that South Alabama team heavily as to whether him or Will Turner was the better prospect. I would say it was about 60-40 in favor of Sullivan. Turner did go a little bit higher to the Red Sox, but I think you look at Sullivan, you look at the overall skill set. He's an incredible athlete, played a corner outfield spot because Will Turner was sort of the de facto center fielder. I think Sullivan can play center field in pro ball. You know, he had dealt with some injuries during his junior season, was actually a draft eligible sophomore, but a guy that once he got into pro ball really showed a balance of plate skills, athleticism, and maybe even some sneaky pop. You know, his 90th percentile exit velocity was a smaller sample, but his 90th percentile exit velocity in pro ball was 105.1 miles per hour while having a really low end zone miss rate, good sort of chase and swing metrics overall. He's a left-handed hitter, comes from a super athletic family. I think his grandfather, Pat Sullivan, actually won the 1971 Heisman Trophy at Auburn as well.
I'm well aware of Pat Sullivan as someone who covered the SEC for years.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you sort of look at this and just talking to scouts that had seen Sullivan once, you know, he came into pro ball from outside the organization. The feedback was really good. So that moved him up higher onto our rankings. And then internally within the organization, he was a guy that was consistently sort of mentioned as like a throw-in piece in trade talks with the Astros this year by other teams. So I think he's another guy that's kind of viewed as an ascending asset within the industry and was maybe hidden out a little bit in a mid-major school, you know, was second time eligible for the draft. There's some of those things that were kind of working against him in terms of what he was getting and what round he goes into. But I think when you look at the overall tools and the type of players that the Astros have been successful with, he could be somebody that really moves up in this ranking over the next year.
It is still, again, it's still an interesting farm system, even if it's not the Astros farm system at its top tier as far as the farm system rankings. A lot more to check out at baseballamerica.com. If you're downloading this as a podcast, we appreciate it. If you please leave a review on your favorite podcast provider, it helps other people find the podcast. And if you're on YouTube, you know, thanks. We're glad to have you there. We have more and more of you joining us. Please subscribe. You know, click that bell so you get notifications, because we're putting out a lot more content every day on our YouTube channel as well. And by the way, we do read the comments. I try to respond to them a pretty good bit. So if you have questions, if you have thoughts, feel free to share them as well. For Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.